When Jesus stood before the Roman governor Pilate the morning of his crucifixion, he said, "For this very purpose I was born, and for this reason I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate, as he stared in the face of truth himself, said, probably skeptically, "What is truth?" Many, like Pilate, still are asking today, "What is truth?" Many today deny there is such a thing even as absolute truth. They think people choose their own truth among many options. It's a smorgasbord, it's a buffet. They say, "Well, that Jesus stuff may work for you, but it's not my truth. I prefer to think of God as all love or totally non-judgmental. That all religions are really the same and we all go to heaven. Or heaven and hell are just here right now on earth." But the Bible is absolute truth, and it points us to truth himself, Jesus Christ our Lord. He is the theme and the center of God's word. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." I invite you to turn, if you haven't already, to the book of Ephesians again, chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6, verses, and we'll read verses 10 through 14, although our focus today will just be one verse, verse 14. Ephesians 6, 10 to 14, we are at war as believers in Jesus Christ with the forces of Satan and his demonic hordes. And we are commanded in this passage to stand against the assaults of the enemy. If you can, please stand for the reading of God's word, Ephesians 6, 10 through 14. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness." This is the word of God. You may be seated. Today we're going to look at the first two pieces of God's armor. Truth is the foundation of God's armor for our lives, the belt of truth. And then through the truth of the Bible, we know how to be declared right with God, the breastplate of righteousness, or being right with God. First of all, then, God's armor begins with fastening on daily the belt of truth. Verse 14, we are commanded to stand against the devil and his forces. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. As Paul is writing Ephesians, remember he is a prisoner, at least under house arrest in Rome, chained to a Roman soldier, probably Praetorian guard. In Philippians, he mentions, "All those of Caesar's household, the Praetorium, greet you." He probably led some of them to Jesus Christ. If you're chained to Paul for 12 hours, what's he going to talk about? Jesus, right? God. But he's chained to a Roman soldier. Ephesians 4:1, "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called." Right in the same chapter, verse 20, he says, "I am an ambassador in chains." That's why we think he's chained to the Roman soldier. And so as Paul's sitting there looking at the Roman soldier writing this letter under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, "Hey, helmet, breastplate, belt, shoes, that's it. We're all in a war, and we need God's holy armor." So he uses the Roman soldier's armor as an illustration of our spiritual armor that we need. And Paul is also, as always, drawing from the Old Testament. And Jesus, the Messiah, wearing God's armor, for example, Isaiah 11:5, Messiah will wear the belt of truth. Isaiah 59:17, we'll read later, but God himself puts on the breastplate of righteousness. Concerning standing our ground in Jesus Christ, Watchman Nee wrote the following. He, Christ, warred against Satan in order to gain the victory. Through the cross, he carried the warfare to the very threshold of hell itself to lead forth then his captivity captive. Today, we war against Satan only to maintain and consolidate the victory which Christ has already gained. By the resurrection, God proclaimed his Son victor over the whole realm of darkness. And the ground Christ won, he's given to us. We do not need to fight to obtain it. We only need to hold it against all challengers. We do not try to gain ground. We merely stand on the ground which the Lord Jesus has gained for us and resolutely refused to be moved from it. Some of you know I'm a Civil War, I like Civil War history and all that. A Civil War nut, I was going to say, but anyway. More on that later, but when the battles were being fought, whoever held the ground won. When the other armies snuck away, whoever was standing on the field won, and that's the image here. We're to stand against Satan and his evil hordes. Paul uses the word stand here four times in verses 10 to 14. To stand firm, withstand, it's all the same word. Standing against Satan and his evil hordes begins with putting on the belt of truth. Truth is foundational and holds everything else together, just like a soldier's belt, just like a physical belt kind of holds things together for you, right, and clothing today. But especially for the soldiers, a belt was to fasten the belt on meant getting ready for action. In the Near East, in Israel, and in the Eastern world, they wore robes. They had to tuck into their belt. So Peter talks about girding up your loins. I mean, stuck them in your belt so you can move, be ready for action. The first thing you had to do was tuck in your robes into your belt. For the Roman soldiers, they had a kilt type thing or a skirt type thing that they would put on with this big leather belt and some armor hanging down. First thing they would put on to hold everything else in its proper place. It's a great image, illustration of the foundation that truth is for us as believers. Truth matters. Doctrine matters. We live in a day and age, especially in the United States, where some don't like doctrine. They think it's unnecessary and divisive, but it's protective and essential. Paul had previously warned the Ephesian elders about false doctrine, Acts 20, verses 27 through 30. To the same church leaders, he said, I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, even from the leaders of the church, false doctrine, false teaching will come in. Even from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. John Stott warns us, wobbly Christians who have no firm foothold in Christ are an easy prey for the devil. If you don't know what you believe, you're going to be easy prey for false teaching. And the devil is always assaulting doctrine and twisting it. 1 Timothy 4:1-2. Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. They delight in false teachings. Through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared. They use human instruments. Liars. as their own false teachers. 1 John 2, 22 and 23 says, "Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father." If you're wrong about Jesus Christ, you don't have God the Father either. "Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also." So demons especially twist the truth about who Jesus Christ is and what he's done for us. Who he is, the Arians in the 300s denied. Arius was a deacon in Alexandria, Egypt, and he stood up and said there was a time when Jesus didn't exist. And he denied he was equal with God the Father. And that horrible teaching spread through much of the church, and it was fought with different church councils. Jehovah's Witnesses continues the same teaching today, twisting the truth about Christ, denying he's equal with the God the Father, denying the Trinity. Demons also twist what Jesus did concerning salvation in Christ alone. They say, demons will tell you, false teachers will tell you, you have to do works in order to be saved. It's faith plus works, or it's church sacraments in order to really be saved. They also attack God's word, just like their leader, Satan, who began in the garden, right? Did God really say? And so the assault began on God's word. It continues today. Did God really say? Can anybody trust the Bible's history? Come on. Can anybody trust all those miracles? Did that stuff really happen? Come on. Or you can't interpret it without training, or you can't interpret it without the Pope. 1 John 4, 1 through 4 says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh," because in that day especially, they were denying, how could God come really and be totally man? "Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who's in the world." That last verse is wonderful, isn't it? The one who lives in a true believer, Christ himself, he's greater than all the lying demons of hell. It's not just all about love. It is loving to speak truth. Ephesians 4, 13 and 15, right in our very book, we're talking about pastors, teachers were given to the church to build the church up until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Wobbly Christians. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we ought to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. Many are deceived by those who seem to use the Bible, or they make you feel good, or they're real friendly, or they have real cool music. But without a commitment to the Bible as truth, and a knowledge of essential truth, we'll be unable to stand against the deceptions of the devil. He masquerades as an angel of light, 2 Corinthians 11. How much more do his workers masquerade? Essential truths. What are the essential truths? Well, they include the Bible as God's inspired word, authoritative, inerrant, infallible. The Trinity, you just sang about it. Holy, 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 God in three persons. Blessed Trinity. Try to explain the Trinity, you lose your mind. Try to deny the Trinity, you lose your soul. The deity and humanity of Jesus Christ. Jesus is 100% God and 100% man at the same time. The substitutionary blood atonement of Jesus. Christ died for us in our place, taking the wrath of God due our sin. That's what that's all about. That's the basis, that's the essence of the gospel. He paid it all. His bodily resurrection, Christ return in eternal heaven and eternal hell. The Bible is God's absolute truth. To disobey the Bible is to disobey God. Who are you going to trust in the midst of battle? The voice of human reason and opinions, which change as the winds. Modern science even, or modern medicine, and its evolving opinions and theories, right? You know, it used to be that they said, eat margarine because butter and eggs are bad for you and that kind of stuff. Right now, it's the reverse. Margarine's bad and butter's good and eggs are good now. Don't eat meat. They said red meat, you know. And now recently I saw something saying, red meat isn't really that bad for you. At least in moderation. Looks like meat's back on the menu. Okay. Amen. I better get going before I get into climate change and stuff like that too. But anyway, I just want to say the world is not going to end in 12 years by climate change. When the world ends, it's going to be Jesus Christ. Okay, let me just say that. But anyway, we better get back. Or the world's philosophies. You're going to accept what they say is right and wrong and all this kind of stuff. It needs to be God's truth that you accept for your own good. Above the din of battle and the roar of battle, listen to the voice of your commander. Hear him. You can trust him who is truth. Well, why is God's truth so important? Because it's essential for life. God's word is our map, our GPS, our guide for all of life. Psalm 119, 9 through 11 says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I've stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Memorizing the word is a wonderful treasure. In those moments, the Holy Spirit can bring his word to your mind then. Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Without the Bible, we'd be lost on the battlefield. We'd go into battle blind. Without the Bible, we would not know who we are or how this all ends. The Word of God is life-giving and refreshes our weary, tired souls as soldiers. Psalm 19 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. You need revival? It's the Bible. The word of God. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. You need wisdom? It's the Bible. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Let us seek to prevent truth decay. Be in the word yourself. You know, I guess I just thought of that. Tooth decay, you know, we brush our teeth at least twice a day, right? You're supposed to. Many times they say three times a day, you know, and all that. But how many of us pick up the Bible even once a day? Let's prevent truth decay. Be in the word yourself. Get to know Christ through his word. Be a doer of the word. James 1, 21 and 22. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. It's a scary thing to think of, that some can hear the word of God and just walk out and it's like water off a duck's back. Without truth, James Boyce, in his commentary on Ephesians, says, without truth, without the doctrines, without the knowledge of who God is, who we are, what we have become in Christ, and what we have been called to do, without this, we really do not know what kind of activity in which to engage, and we will be vulnerable to Satan's onslaughts and wiles. We need God's belt of truth first as the foundation of everything else in this war. Secondly, God's armor means daily putting on the breastplate of righteousness. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. This righteousness is for our defense and firmly guards our heart, our vital organs, like a soldier's armored breastplate against the arrows and the stabbings of the devil. Isaiah 59:17, used of God himself, he puts on righteousness as a breastplate. 1 Thessalonians 5:8, elsewhere Paul speaks of the breastplate also. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. Ephesians 6:14, this righteousness is not our own godly lives. Many commentators go on and on about how this is our own righteousness. It's our own faithfulness that we're to live out. But I think that's wrong. I think it's what the focus here is, the righteousness given to us by God in the gospel. As one commentator writes, Leon Morris, Paul is not writing about armor forged by Christian achievement, but armor that is the gift of God, God's armor. Put on the armor of God. He's the source of it. We get it from him. He's the one who's worn it. Christ has worn it in victory. We receive it from him. We are declared righteous then before God only through Christ and grace alone. Romans 3:21-24. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets, the Old Testament, bear witness to him. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. The rightness and the holiness of Christ is credited to us now who believe. For there's no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified, declared right with God by his grace as a gift through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3:9, Paul says, I consider all my religious works and pedigrees and efforts as a Pharisee, that's all dung, all garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Philippians 3:9, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. We receive by faith alone. Don't try to substitute your own righteousness for Christ's righteousness. We don't have any righteousness of our own to stand in and be secure in, right? Isaiah 64:6 says, we've all become like one who's unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. Romans 3:10-12, Paul writes just before the section about how we need the righteousness of God as a gift. As it is written, none is righteous. All of humanity. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good. Not even one. No one's going to get in by their own righteousness, by their own goodness. In the battle, we can't trust even in the goodness we have through Christ. Satan is accusing us constantly, and only Christ's perfect righteousness will defend us. Revelation 12:10 speaks of the accuser of the brethren. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God, the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down. What does Satan do? Who accuses them day and night before our God. Satan is accusing us. Look at that Pat Clary. He's supposed to be a pastor. Look what he was thinking. Those evil thoughts. How can he be one of your children, Jesus? Ah! We stand fast in the purity and holiness of Christ because it is ours by grace through and in Christ alone. Putting on the breastplate of righteousness, then, as Dana has referred to a couple times recently, means preaching the gospel to yourself every day. The gospel is not just for unbelievers, it's for us as believers. Remind yourself, I'm a child of God by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Salvation is God's work in me, not my work for him. I did not earn or deserve salvation, not even a little bit. If you read through Ephesians again, it's the glory of our position, our salvation in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1, before the foundation of the world, he chose us in Christ. Not based on anything we've done, but by grace. I am righteous then and accepted before God by grace alone, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. If it was based on anything that we've done, we could boast, hey God, I'm here because I chose you, or I was a little more in tune than my neighbor next to me spiritually, and on and on and on. All of my sins are forgiven by the blood of Jesus. I'm holy because Jesus is holy. I'm delivered from the enemy's domain, and now in Christ's kingdom. Colossians 1:13 again, he has delivered us, God has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, into the kingdom of light. I am bought with the blood of the Lamb. I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit. Again, Ephesians 1:13 and 14. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. The Holy Spirit himself is God's engagement ring, if you will, that he will bring us to the marriage supper of the Lamb for his Son, Jesus Christ. His power and strength now are mine. Be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might, verse 10. God's resurrection power, Ephesians 1 tells us, is now in us. Christ's resurrection power. God is my Father and will never let me go. He will hold me fast and all the way home. Romans 8:30. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. It's the same ones all the way through. It actually begins at verse 29. The ones he foreknew, he predestined, he called, he justified, declared right, and glorified. It's pictured as, from God's perspective, as if it's already done, as if all you believers in Jesus Christ are actually standing before his very throne already. It's amazing. This is eternal security. And it goes on, verse 31 to 39. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Well, who is against us? Wrestle not against flesh and blood, against rulers, authorities, against cosmic power. The devil and all his forces. But they're nothing compared to God. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It's the devil who is bringing accusations and charges. It's God who justifies. He's declared us right with him through Jesus. Who is to condemn? Again, Satan is the one condemning us continually. Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Jesus is praying for you right now. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Again, the devil's trying to do that. Drive us to despair. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. We're winning an overwhelming victory. Another translation, through him who loved us. For I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, all the cosmic powers of evil of Ephesians 6, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Victory is sure. Don't despair or listen to the lies of the enemy. Jesus wins now and forever. There's a new heaven and a new earth coming. Christ will bring in glory. But now let us hold the fort, for he is, for Christ is coming. In the U.S. Civil War, Allatoona Pass, October 5th, 1864, in the war in Georgia, General Sherman sent a message to a Union fort, an outpost, with signal flags, telling the garrison, General Sherman says, hold fast, we are coming. Gave them new sense of urgency and confidence. Philip P. Bliss wrote a song, a hymn based based on this in 1870. Hold the fort, for I am coming. Hold the fort, for I am coming. Jesus, signal still. I don't know the rest of it, but we'll go. Wave the answer back to heaven. By thy grace, we will. Let us hold the fort, for Christ is coming. Victory is sure. And those who are declared righteous will live for the glory and honor of God. We will grow in living out our faith in practical ways. Ephesians 2:10. Those who have been justified will show it in life. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. We're not saved by works, but we're saved to work. We're created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. As we love one another, pray for one another, encourage one another. So finally, some questions here. First of all, are you trusting in Jesus as God's living truth? That your life begins with Jesus. Do you truly know you are righteous in Christ alone? It's all about Christ, not you. It's all about who he is and what he's done for you. And we trust him alone. His death, his resurrection for our sins, his perfect life that counts as our holiness, our righteousness. Do you accept the Bible as absolute truth? Do you seek to do what it says first in your own life? It's not enough just to say, oh yeah, the Bible's true, or to know truth. We have to live it out by the power of Christ for his name in our thinking, our attitudes, our words, our actions, Monday through Saturday as well as Sunday. And how are you getting to know the Bible and the essential truths of the Bible? Do you have a plan for a Bible study, for growing in the Lord Jesus through his word? Are you getting to know the whole counsel of God? Heard someone say this morning their desire and their purpose is, one of the purposes, to read through the whole Bible. That's wonderful. Have you ever read through the whole Bible, the whole counsel of God? Don't just always read the parts you know or your favorite parts. That's nice. You can study Christ's life and the gospel, for example. You can essential truths of the Bible, or a great summary in the Bible itself is the book of Romans, where Paul explains this is God's gospel. This is the good news. What he preaches, he tells the Roman church in great detail, 16 chapters on God's gospel, of God's grace. Martin Luther said, Romans should be the daily bread of every Christian. Wow. You ever read it? And will you preach the gospel to yourself as you stand righteous in Jesus Christ? I am yours, Lord. Use me for your honor. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for truth itself. Thank you for your word is truth. Thank you that Jesus Christ himself is living truth. For those of us who've trusted in him, Lord, we know him. We know you are true. If there's anyone here that hasn't trusted Jesus, I pray they'd see their desperate need of him and their hearts even now cry out, Lord Jesus, save me, rescue me from my sin, from darkness. Deliver me into your kingdom by the blood of Jesus Christ shed for my sins and his holiness. His resurrection giving me a new life. Lord, for those of us in Christ, I pray you'd remind us daily to preach the gospel to ourselves, to preach truth to ourselves, to speak truth to ourselves from your word, to remind ourselves who we are in Christ, that we are yours. You'll never let us go. You will hold us fast now and through all the trials and tribulations of this life on into eternity around your throne to be glorified with your Son, Jesus Christ. Until then, even this week, Lord, may we be faithful out of love, out of desire to honor you for what you've done for us, out of joy of knowing Jesus. May we surrender ourselves to live a life that pleases you, that honors you for Christ's sake, we pray. Make a difference in how we talk, how we think, how we act, because of Jesus. Amen.